D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick here with you on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick with you on this Thursday, live from Bridgestone Arena, outside Section 111 in the Jack Daniels Barrel House. Predators and Chicago Blackhawks in action tonight. The first game for both teams out of the Olympic break. But it's 5 o'clock on a Thursday. Let's say hello to our man, Elliot Friedman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet joins us now. Elliot, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Really just want to ask you, we're coming out of the Olympic break. It was a fun 2.5 weeks. Just how big was the Olympics for growing the sport of hockey in the United States and really all over the world?
Well, first of all, let me say this, and I know I might be speaking to people who feel a little bit differently. I loved everything about the Olympics except the last play.
Really? I didn't have a problem with it.
The U.S. won it fair and square. They deserved it. They earned it from puck drop to end. They were the best team. Canada played its two best periods of the tournament in the second and third, and Hellebuck stoned them. I still have no idea how he made that one particular save. But they did a phenomenal job. They earned the gold. Look, it got big numbers. It got big attention. It's been quite a week, I'll say that. But I think there's a lot of people who, like someone said to me, Jack Hughes' Instagram has gained, I think, 500,000 followers in a week. And that's kind of the way we measure these things now, right? So that says to me that there's a lot of interest in him personally. I mean, the picture, that picture of him in the American flag with a chipped tooth, I mean, that's going to go down as one of the greatest pictures in the history of photography. And I think anything that brings eyeballs is a great thing.
Elliot, speaking of the Olympics, there have been players throughout different teams across the National Hockey League that have gone down with injuries due to that. I'm looking at teams that are battling some of those injuries. The Pittsburgh Penguins with Sidney Crosby. The Los Angeles Kings with Kevin Fiala. Are there teams out there that could use the Nashville Predators at the trade deadline to kind of fill those positions?
Well, I think so, yes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I even think that even before some of these teams suffered injuries, they were looking at some of Nashville's players. And, you know, I hesitate to make a lot of proclamations like anything. I say that this is stamped in stone or cut in stone, that this is the way it's going to be. But it seemed when I got back Monday, started making my calls. People seemed not certain that O'Reilly or Stamkos would go anywhere now. But again, I want to stress, like, that can always change quick. But that's where it was coming out of the Olympic trade freeze. I think there's certainly an attempt with Marchessault. And then after that, like, one guy who had a great Olympics, played great, was Holla. Like, he was really impactful. He's a center. I have to think there's a market for him. And then some of the other players you have, like the Purvixes, the Buntings, the McCarrans, guys like that, I think teams will kind of circle through and see what Nashville's looking at. But I did have one guy say to me after, because I went after the bronze medal game, which Finland won, I walked into somebody from an NHL team as I was leaving the rink at that night, and they did say Holla did nothing to hurt his market value here.
Speaking of that, Elliot, the Olympics, how is the women's hockey team covered over there? Because the women, you know, the U.S. women, they've won gold. But it seems like they've been slighted just a tad bit. How is it viewed over in Canada?
Well, you know what, honestly, I think it's unfortunate, Derek, the way that happened. I'll tell you something. You know, I went to the women's round robin game against Canada where the U.S. pounded them 5-0. And the first guy I walked into in the building was Vincent Trocheck, who plays for the Rangers and is part of the U.S. men's team. And I know the Kachucks were there for their semifinal. And one of my coworkers was near the Hughes brothers. They were there for the women's final where they beat Canada. And I think generally, like Charlie McAvoy promotes them all the time. I think generally the players from both the U.S. and Canada really support the women's team. And, you know, I'm preparing for taping our podcast tonight. I'm going to talk about this a little bit. You know, I think unfortunately what happened in the celebration, it was unfair to the women. And I actually think a little bit unfair to the men because, you know, Derek, you've won championships before. People who didn't win shouldn't be in those rooms. Like, you know, like I go to every year I'm there when the Stanley Cup is presented. And, you know, at the end of the game, at the end of our broadcast, I'll go by the team that lost and anyone I know in there, I'll just shake their hands and wish them condolences. And then I'll go by the room of the team that won and I'll see, you know, hey, can I just wish congratulations to this guy or this guy? You shake their hand and then you get out of there. Like, I think celebrations are for the players who won, the coaches who won, the executives that won, the support staff that won. Like, the people who went on the journey together, those are the people who should be celebrating. And as someone inserted himself into this one, and he opened up a can of trouble for the men's players. And, you know, the one thing that I really do believe, though, Derek, is that to 100% of the people who are on the outside, who watch, whether you watch hockey a lot or you just tuned in for the Olympics to watch the games, what was said on that phone call did not in any way, shape, or form erase any respect or recognition for what the U.S. women did. They were a steamroller. They were dominant. They earned that gold just as much as the men did. And only Canada playing their best game of the last 4 years even got the U.S. into overtime in the gold medal game. And I really believe that, Derek. I think that, like, I understand the women's players, like, it's said about you and you're wounded and you feel hurt and you feel like the butt of the joke. But I think as time goes on, they will all recognize that just because that was said about them, nobody with a brain in the world felt any differently about what they accomplished. They were like, ah, that's stupid. And we saw how great you were, and we all know it.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, speaking of another Olympian, UC Sarles. He played well throughout the Olympics.
Do you expect
that to carry over to the season? What now? We don't know if he's going to be in net tonight or not. It hasn't been said. He did get back a little late, you know, so I don't know what they're going to do as far as that. But do you think that momentum can translate into the remainder of the season?
I think it should. We know he probably didn't party as much as the Americans did, so there's no reason he should battle any hang. Like, it was funny yesterday. I saw JT Miller skating, and he's like, "I need to skate to sweat out the alcohol." He basically admitted it, and so I'm not sure that Saros needs it as much. But you know, I mean, he played. I actually think in a lot of ways, that's gonna be a good thing for Saros. Like, I mean, you'll have to monitor him. You'll have to give him a break here and there. But he played his last game Saturday. It's Thursday today. He has time to get his body back on clock. But the other thing is, like, he's going to feel great about himself after that. And, you know, I know the Finnish players. I went to the bronze medal game, and I spoke to a few of them after, and they were really disappointed about losing that semifinal to Canada. Like, that really hurt. But they were really proud of the medal. And, like, I didn't get a chance to see Saros after the game, but I saw him doing interviews. And, Derek, he was beaming. Like, he was so proud. And I just think something like that, it always makes you feel 3 feet taller than you are. And I think it'll be a great thing for him and the team.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. Great podcast. They did fantastic work over at the Olympics. Now back for the stretch run
Elliot, I want to go back to something you referenced before, and I'm curious, especially where you sit in Canada. I can remember countless games over the years involving the Predators, sometimes even big playoff games, where some people, and usually I'm on this side, I will make a point of, hey, this team played really well, couldn't have played a whole lot better, but the puck just didn't go in. You made this reference point. I don't know how Canada could have played really any better without winning the game in the last two periods. But that's hockey, and you have this faction of people that just can't comprehend that. It's like either you get it done or you don't. You either win or you're not. So that always creates a great discussion. And we're understanding more in sports, in all sports, with analytics and the things that can point and I guess paint the picture that way. But how are they trying to stomach that in Canada, given those circumstances?
Well, like, there's a lot of people who really think it sucks. Like, there's no question about that, Willie. I'll say this: most people in my circle or people that I deal with, like, you know, I got home Monday afternoon and I went to the gym Monday night because I just wanted to get my body going. And like, most of the people in there were like, "Oh, that was tough, man. We played great, but we lost." And I think a lot of us too, Willie, if we look at it this way, like, since best on best really began, and it began at the Olympics in 1998 with a couple breaks in between, Canada's won on best on best. They've won 3 gold medals. They've won 2 World Cups of hockey. They won the 4 Nations last year, and they won the silver medal here. That's a lot of winning. And sooner or later, you lose. Okay, now 2 of those wins, Vancouver Olympics 2010, overtime. Last year, 4 Nation, overtime. So the margins are slim, right? And that's the thing here. Like, they played great. They lost in a 3-on-3 overtime. Like, you're not going to win all the time. And that one sucked yesterday. And, you know, it felt like a kick in the stomach, or the other day. That one, it felt like a kick in the, like, when it happened, like, our set in Milan was right above the end where Jack Hughes scored to end the tournament. And I saw the U.S. coming down 3-on-1, and I was like, oh no, like, this is very bad. Like, I could see it coming. And when I saw the puck in, it was like a kick to the stomach. It hurt. But I was like, what can you do? Like, Hellebuck was great. The U.S. had a great team. You know, last year when Canada won the 4 Nations, Quinn Hughes was injured. This year, Sidney Crosby is injured. Like, sometimes the hockey gods smile on you, and sometimes they say, not your turn. And for us, this was not our turn.
I think about that a lot. It was just amazing to watch. Because I think if you played it 10 times, I don't think the Canadians would dominate all 10 games the way they did. I've seen a lot of games between those two teams that are much more evenly matched. It just shows you that in a one-game deal, you're liable to see any type of game.
Yep. It's like if you're a poker player, yeah, you could be the best poker player in the world, but if you don't get the cards, you can only bluff so many times, right?
Right. I want to ask you about, in particular, Connor Hellebuck, because it's unique. Yeah. And I was thinking about this a lot leading up to the tournament when you would run across these guys. Hellebuck in Winnipeg. You know, Quinn Hughes for a while was Vancouver's featured player right before he got traded. Obviously, Austin Matthews in Toronto. Great U.S. stars playing in Canadian markets. What's that like for those guys, I wonder?
It's going to be interesting because, you know, obviously, some of the aftermath, like, I don't know if you saw the scrum around Brady Tkachuk today in Ottawa.
Yeah. Brady Tkachuk's another good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, everybody has different feelings on that, right? Like, there are people who think that line of questioning is too much. And there's other people who think that it's, like, people are like, it's not enough. And everybody handles it differently. Like, if you take a look at Canadian teams, there's been a lot of U.S. players who signed extensions here. Quinn Hughes did, JT Miller did, Johnny Gaudreau did in Calgary. Blake Wheeler and Dustin Byfuglien did in Winnipeg. Connor Hellebuyck now has twice in Winnipeg. Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa. Austin Matthews. Like, if Austin Matthews stays his entire career and contract in Toronto, and he's got, I think, two more years on it, he's, you know what, he's, I think, going to be here 12 years. So, like, good U.S. players do sign here. You know, it's noisier. You know, the world is changing very quickly due to politics. And I think the social media generation, the world is changing fast. And the one thing you have to be able to do is shut out the noise. And honestly, in a lot of cases, Willie, I think it comes down to, can you handle the noise? Can you shut out the noise? And if not, you say, I want to go somewhere where it's a little less noisier. I think it's purely individual. I've seen, like, Quinn Hughes is a perfect example. He was happy in Vancouver for a long time until the team went south, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. And sometimes it's that simple. Do you think you have a chance to win?
One more for you, Elliot, before we let you go. We asked Barry Trotz earlier this week. I asked him, do you think we might see a quick big trade or two that start the dominoes rolling before everybody has all the data in right before the deadline? He said he didn't think the price had been set on a lot of guys yet. What are your thoughts? Do you think teams will take it right to the wire and these next couple of days might sway a couple of teams, or do you think we might get one or two that jumpstart everything?
Famous last words, Willie. I was actually doing some research leading into this hit, and people were telling me, it's quiet now, it's quiet now. You have no idea how scary it is for me to come on your show and say it's quiet now, because I know the moment I hang up, some big deal is going to come down, and the Nashvillians are going to be saying, why do you let that moron on your show every Thursday? I all I can say is, like I'll say this, like, there's a lot of people in this league who try to use the deadline as, you know, I'm calm. I think I can make somebody else panic. So I'll say this, every year there's something I don't see coming, like a total shocker out of nowhere. That's what I'm trying to do right now, is figure out where that shocker is coming from.
Makes a lot of sense. Right. By the way, Elliot, we've got your back either way. If there are five big trades tonight, we will say, Elliot told us it's quiet, but you never know. The shocker could be coming.
I appreciate that, Willie. I appreciate you having my back.
Elliot Freeman, our guest here on DVD. Elliot, appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Elliot. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet joins the show every Thursday at 5 p.m. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Willie, I know you got places to be, games to call, people to see, hopefully games to
win. Hands to shake.
That's right. Hands to shake. Just like spring training, remember? Just don't swing at the ones outside. Just call it right down the middle.
That's right. So just I'll remember the puck is not round.
Yeah.
Are you not going to have any jump balls? I've been watching a lot of basketball. Let's not call anybody a Kentucky Wildcat or anything like that.
Exactly.
Let's just hope I get it all right.
Just don't take what Rand Carthon said into account. The puck is not oblong.
It's
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into some combine headlines and news. Myself and Derek Mason right here on DVD on 102.5 The Game.